You can't just not participate in the poll. So here's the poll. How many of you believe that everyone deserves a second chance? How many of you believe that no one deserves a second chance? Okay, well, a few hands went up. Okay. See, there's a key word that I used to start that with. And do you know what that key word is? Deserves. You see, that word deserves, and can you turn me down a little bit? I'm ringing like crazy. That word deserves is an interesting word because there's this idea that somebody owes it to you. That if you mess up, somebody owes you another opportunity. And that's why that word deserves is so important. And I submit to you that nobody owes you a second chance. And anytime you receive a second chance, that second chance is the direct grace and mercy shown by that other person. Would you agree with that? And so the same is true with God. He doesn't owe you a second chance. But he tends to give it over and over and over again. In fact, I don't know, I think we call it a second chance because we don't want to be honest. Because it's multiple chances, it's not just two. In fact, the story of Jonah goes much like that. So Jonah is told by God, the scripture says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told Jonah to go to Nineveh, go to wicked Nineveh and preach against it. Right? And so that's the message he has. Go to wicked Nineveh. And Jonah's response is, I ain't going to do it. And so he runs. And he runs and he runs and he runs and he runs. And God sends a storm. I want you to think about this. So by God sending the storm on the boat in which Jonah is in, is God giving Jonah another chance to change his mind about running? You see, I don't think we really realize that, but Jonah has the opportunity when that storm comes to say, you know what, I'll go. I'm going. But no, Jonah's answer to that is just throw me in the water. Just throw me in, you know what, just throw me in the water. I would rather die than to go to Nineveh. And of course, we read last week that he gets swallowed by this great fish, and he's in the belly of this fish, and he prays two prayers. He prays one while he is sinking, and the other while he is in the belly of the fish. And his prayer, what you would assume his prayer would sound something like this: I'll do whatever you want me to, God, just get me out of my situation. Like, it seems like a really good time to bargain with God when you're in the belly of a fish. But he doesn't really do that. What he does is he says, I will give you praise. Just get me out of here and I'll go back. You alone have the salvation. And he really prays a prayer of, I will serve you, but in the way that I want to. And so the scripture says that the fish spit Jonah out of his mouth onto dry land, right? Now, I've always believed and always thought that Jonah was spit out on the shores of Nineveh. Have you ever thought that? I just assumed that because it seems that way, at least when we were kids and we heard the story, because Jonah usually comes off into Nineveh with seaweed wrapped around his head and looking all like he'd been in the belly of a fish. And one of the reasons they listened is because he stunk. But I don't really think that's what happened. In fact, if you'll look at Jonah chapter 3, in Jonah chapter 3, I don't know why my verse isn't up there, but in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, so the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, why would that have to be if Jonah is on his way to Nineveh? He wouldn't have to tell him a second time because Jonah's going to do what he was originally told to do, but he's not doing that because Jonah is like a lot of us. We you know, God gives us directive and he sends us on a journey to do things we're supposed to do. And what we do is we don't do it. No, we're not so brazen as to run from God, but we do run from God in the sense that we don't do what he calls us to do. And then our life goes into shambles and we're like, God, forgive me for not doing what I was supposed to do. And then we get out of the circumstance, we go back to doing what we weren't doing before. And that's what Jonah, I think, does. I think Jonah goes back home. I think he goes back home and he probably goes to the temple and makes sacrifices. And this is just my supposition, but I think I can pretty well bet that he did not go to Nineveh straight away. And so God has to call out to him again. And he says, Jonah, a second time, he says, Jonah, I want you to go to wicked Nineveh, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So here's the thing God says. Okay, now, Jonah, Jonah's like, yes. You can almost feel it, right? Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach the message that I give you. Now, Jonah still has a choice to make. Now, I want you to understand that it isn't a very good choice. He doesn't have lots of options, but he does have options. Jonah can choose to run again. Jonah can choose to stand where he's at and say, I ain't going to do it. Jonah can do a lot of things, but Jonah, the scripture says, obeyed. In fact, here's what it says. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That was a Freudian slip. Nineveh. So Jonah obeyed the Lord, word of the Lord, and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Now, the first sermon in this series was about this concept of the word of the Lord. And so I just want to give you a quick review, if you will, about what the word of the Lord is. The word of the Lord is how God communicates with mankind. So in our world, the word of the Lord comes to us mostly how? Through Scripture, right? We have the word of the Lord in Scripture. All Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So that's how we get the word of the Lord. But that's not the only way, right? There are other ways in which God has communicated with man throughout time. He has communicated to them through visions, through dreams, through prophecy, through other people. Sometimes you receive the word of the Lord through my mouth, even though it is God's message. It's from my mouth to your ears. And so the word of the Lord is not confined to one medium of access. In other words, he does it in many different ways. But here's the thing I want you to understand about the word of the Lord. A lot of people believe that they would just love it if God would speak to them, right? If God would just talk. And we're going along and God says, hey, can you do me a favor? Like that would be awesome because we'd know exactly what to do. Or when we really have a really tough decision to make, if God would just be like, turn left. You're like, thank you. I was really planning on going right. But if you pay attention to Scripture, anytime God breaks the silence, most of the time the response by men is fear. It is to be feared. When God speaks, men tend to tremble with fear. But it's crazy that while that's true, it's also true that the Word of God is often, or the Word of the Lord is often ignored by man. It's sometimes declared by man. It's rejected by man. It's despised by man. And then in the case of Jonah here, we see it is obeyed by Jonah this time. Now, you might suggest that Jonah didn't really have a choice, but Jonah did have a choice. I want to make that clear to you. His choices weren't very good, but he had choices. And so this time the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, go to the great city of Nineveh, proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, is Jonah free to say whatever he wants to the Ninevites according to this word? No. What's he supposed to do? Supposed to go and do exactly what God told him to do. Give the message, say the message that I give you. Here's another thing that's really interesting when I look at the story of Jonah. I've always thought that Jonah is the worst preacher in the history of preachers, right? Because he goes into Nineveh and there's no pleading, there's no begging. He goes into Nineveh and he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Like that's his message. 40 more days and no message of redemption, no message of hope, no message of promise, just a message of destruction. 40 more days and you're done. But it has a great effect, and all because of this second chance that Jonah gets. So I want to look at this idea of second chances, because I started this whole message with the question, does everybody deserve a second chance? And our emotional response to that is always the same for most of us. It's yes, I believe everyone deserves a second chance. So let's talk about Jonah for a second. Did Jonah really deserve this second chance? And the reason I want to kind of talk about that is because you might deserve a second chance if you fail to understand what you were supposed to do and you mess up. There's a story about Thomas Edison when he made the first light bulb. It took 24 men 24 hours to build the first light bulb. And when they completed building it, they handed it to the servant boy or whoever was, you know, the helper. And he was to take it upstairs and store it. And so he's got this bulb and he's walking up the stairs and he gets to the top of the stairs. And you all know what's about to happen, right? He drops this 24-hour bulb, this bulb that took 24 men 24 hours to make. And so guess what has to happen? They have to do it again. And so they make the bulb, they spend 24 hours again, 24 men making this bulb again. And when they finish, Thomas Edison does what? Well, because this is about second chances, you probably already know that he hands it to the same boy. And he has the same boy do the same job. And this time, of course, he doesn't break the bulb. God does that with us all the time. But in order for us to understand the concept of second chances, we must understand the concept of the first chance. And here's the thing. I think most of us go through this life believing that it is the expectation and the duty of us to mess up so that God can fix us. Right? Yeah, you think that? Like, you know, if I mess up, well, it's what God expected of me. Well, it's not what God desires of you, though. Like when God says to go, He just wants you to go. It would be so much easier if you would do it right the first time. But because we mess up, God has built into His plan this concept of redemption. But I want you to understand something. Not just redemption. You can't just have redemption without repentance. Are you with me on this? I'm afraid that most of the time, we really just want the redemption. We don't want to go through the process of the repentance. So what if this had happened? A word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time, and Jonah says, okay. I used to do this with my mom a lot because I realized that by agreeing to my mom's terms, I didn't necessarily have to fulfill her wishes. You see, my siblings would fight with my mother. I don't want to. I'd just be like, okay, and then not do it. Because I wasn't rebelling. I was telling her I would do it. And then when she would get on to me, why didn't you do that? Well, I was going to. So Jonah is kind of could do that. Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the first time and he says, go. And Jonah can just go. All he's got to do is go and there's no need for a second chance. But Jonah decides to do it himself, his way. He runs from the Lord. And I just want you to think about it. Jonah writes the book of Jonah. And I want you to imagine what it must have felt like for Jonah to write this chapter 3, verse 1. A word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Why would God choose a running prophet to do this? Why not pick somebody else? When I was a little kid, I'll never forget this question. I don't know why this question rings in my head so true. But when I was a kid, I remember one of our Bible class teachers, we were talking about Moses and the burning bush. Do you remember the story where Moses is going along and the burning bush is burning but not burned up? And he calls Moses out and tells Moses to go into Egypt and deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. And I remember the teacher asked me a question, or asked us a question, the class question. What would happen if Moses had said no? And I thought, that's an interesting question. But the teacher's answer was wrong. At least I think it was wrong. The teacher's answer was he'd have found somebody else to do it. But then we look at a story like Jonah. When Jonah is called out by God to go to Nineveh, God could have, after Jonah says no, God could have went and got somebody else to do it. Maybe somebody more qualified. Maybe somebody with more of a heart like his own. But instead, God says, no, you're going to do it. And as a parent, I kind of understand that, don't you? Like sometimes we are trained through our unwillingness. Well, I wasn't going to make you do it, but since you don't want to, you're definitely the one that's going to do it. You ever done that as a parent? You're like, well, I was going to let you off the hook, but since you're so adamant against it, I am definitely making you do it. But I think when Jonah was writing this, and he sees that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, there's a lot of regret built into his first experience. And I'm just going to tell you something. You can spend the rest of your life regretting the first opportunity, or you can spend the rest of your life capitalizing on the second one. The second thing I want to talk about is that when we read this second chance, we see that God's plan will not be thwarted. His authority is going to be fulfilled. He's going to accomplish what He plans to accomplish, and He will even accomplish it through the rotten you that you are sometimes. And I think that's such a powerful promise to us that God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up on us in our journey, but he expects us to conform to his ideas. And I don't know, I hope I'm making this point clear enough, but I really believe that we sometimes, we want all of the blessing of God without any of what God has called us to do to receive it. And so Jonah goes into Nineveh and he preaches. I want you to understand something. We're going to talk about chapter 4 next week, but I want you to understand a couple, well, probably 2 weeks, but I want you to understand a couple of things about Jonah. There's a couple of reasons why Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. And one of them is he doesn't like the Ninevites very much. That's one reason. There's another reason that I didn't really grasp until much later. And here's the other reason that Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. They're scary. It is said that the Assyrians, which Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, it is said that they would stack the heads of their enemies at their gate. They would decapitate enemies and put them at their gate. They would enslave people and they would lead them around with a chain tied to their ears from one guy to the next and make them work like that. These people were terrible people. And so Jonah has to go see these people. He's got to travel into this place. And so I would imagine there's a little bit of fear in him and there's a little bit of, I don't really want them to be saved. But chapter 4, there's another motivator that says, I know you, God. And I really, really don't want you to be nice to them. And if you go tell me to do this and they turn around, you're going to relent. And so I don't want that. But you need to understand something. Sometimes, maybe, I suggest all times, if we're walking in the will of God, the plan that God has will present and will result in the promises of God that is better than anything you could decide. So the authority of God on his second chances is all about him achieving the goal that he has set for us. But you need to understand another thing. God is a God of mercy, and it's not just second chances he gives us. And if you don't identify with Jonah in this story a little bit about the need for second chances, then you're not really paying attention to your own, the blessing you receive and all the chances you get. Amen? Like, how many of you have received a lot of chances from God? How many of you received a lot of chances from people of God? You know, it's just this truth about God. He is full of mercy. And I know that there are people who, in fact, there was a story I read this week that I found really interesting. A man had a couple of children and he was converted to Christianity. And he went to his first church service. And at the end of the service, he just sat on the front row and he wept. And he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. And so the preacher, after bidding everybody adieu, it's just them two left, he comes and he sits down beside him. He says, what's going on in you? Like, what's happening? And he says, you know, I hear this wonderful love of Jesus, and I'm really compelled to make sure that my children know this, but there is no chance that God will be able to forgive me for all that I've done in my life. Do you realize that the forgiveness of God is greater than any of your sin, any of your failings? And when we talk about second chances, you need to understand that the mercy of God isn't about second chances. It's about multiple opportunities. It's about chance after chance after chance after chance. But the chance is for you to repent, not just to get over it, not just to get resolution for it, but to repent of it so that you can walk the walk that he planned for you to walk. His divine love is also in this. You see, God could have chose somebody else for this mission, but he wouldn't have had the opportunity to teach Jonah this lesson. He wouldn't have been able to change the course of Jonah's life. We're not told anything else about Jonah after this book, except Jesus mentions him. We don't really know what happened with the rest of Jonah's life. We know that after the conversion, that him and God have this moment under a tree, and Jonah doesn't seem to be really transformed by this experience. But I want you to understand something. God is trying really hard to show Jonah what love and mercy looks like. And I dare suggest that God has been trying to do that in your life for a long time. And that love is to compel you to love like he loves. And finally, I want to end with this. God expects a response. You see, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time and he Jonah had to respond. The scripture says Jonah obeyed him and he went and he did it, right? And he went through the whole land of Nineveh. And I want you to know, Jonah was the most apathetic preacher that's ever walked through Nineveh. Jonah was not preaching in the hopes that these people would change their path. Jonah was preaching because he had to. And I want you to know something. You don't always have to be in agreement with what you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Are you with me there? Because if you're waiting till you're in agreement with everything, you're only ever going to get what you've always gotten. And I'm amazed that people, you know, because I talk to a lot of people, I'm like, well, the reason you keep experiencing the same thing you're experiencing is because you keep doing the same thing you've been doing. And the truth of the matter is if you'll take this advice, this counsel, this biblical counsel of God, and you'll apply it to your life, you'll get different results. And the same is true of Jonah. When God gives him this other chance, God is expecting Jonah to respond. And so Jonah does. And he goes and he preaches. And while Jonah may never have been transformed by this experience, I want to tell you the glorious ending of this story that we should celebrate. All of Nineveh repents. The entire nation of Nineveh turns to God through a reluctant prophet. See, Jonah wanted his second chance, but he wasn't really sure somebody else deserved it. And this is the final thing I want you to get from this. If you believe that you're a product of a second chance of God, then maybe you ought to be a people of second chances as well. There are a lot of people who've been through your life who have hurt you, I'm sure. That doesn't mean they don't deserve a second chance. Doesn't mean you can't be merciful and give them a second chance, even as God has given you multiple chances. So I want you to think about it. Who in your life have you cut out of your life that you could really give another opportunity to? How many times has God been merciful to you and loving toward you? How many times has God called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light? How many times have you run from God? How many times have you cursed God? How many times have you done all those things and yet you sit in judgment of another? If you want to be the benefactor of second chances, then you ought to be the purveyor of second chances. Let people into your life. Love them as God loves you and be a difference maker. I don't know why that's doing that, but endure. I want you to understand something that Jonah didn't really ever understand. Jonah was going into a city of more than 120,000 people. A wicked city nonetheless, but God loved them anyway. God loves you right where you're at, but He also loves everybody around you right where they're at. And all of us need the mercy and the grace of a wonderful God who is the God of second chances. And you have that chance today. I started today with the idea that what if this church, what if we built a kingdom that didn't stay within these walls, but we allowed it to expand out into the world? I believe that the kingdom of God has powerful force in the world. And I believe that we ought to be not only mouthpieces, but example makers for people to follow. We serve a great God and the world needs to see that great God through us. We have been given chance after chance and the world needs to understand that about us. Don't be ashamed of your failings. Be proud of your God's forgiveness and let the world see that through you. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much that you're a God of second chances. I've been given so many opportunities to be the servant that you call me to be, and I would imagine and I'm certain that I will need so many more opportunities from you. And so, Father, I praise you that you are merciful, that you are full of grace and love and mercy. And I just pray, Father, that as I go through my days, that I see the world the way you see it, not in judgment of it, but in hope for it, that I will reach out and help people come to see you, the God of second chances, and that I myself maintain relationships with people even though they mess up over and over again in our relationship. Father, we love you, and you're a great example to us to be who you are in this world. I praise you and love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, let's stand.